Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to English for You. My name is Joe.
I'm hungry again.
You're still hungry.
I'm still hungry.
Did you not eat after
the
last
show? We haven't gotten to the fat duck yet.
Okay, so you're waiting.
I'm saving myself.
You're saving yourself. You're going to hear about more good food. And you're just going to be starving.
I know. So 64,000 snails. I think I could eat about 14,000 right now.
Well, yesterday we were talking about Heston Blumenthal and his restaurant, The Fat Duck. You must be hungry.
I'm so hungry.
You're a loud eater.
Yes, the fat duck, which is coming closer to us.
Yes, slightly.
It used to be in England, but it's moving to Australia.
Yes.
For 6 months, while the original restaurant there in England, it redecorates. But the chef,
Heston Blumenthal,
thank you, decided to take it on the road.
And he's going to go to Australia.
Yeah.
While they're fixing up the old place. But there's a lot of challenges. He's got to ship a lot of stuff, including over 100 iPods for some reason, 64,000 snails. He had a chef, who I'm sure he had to rely on a lot, who failed an English test.
Hi, chef. I hope he's watching.
So he could not work in Australia. If you want to work overseas or move to countries, sometimes they make you pass an English test.
Oh, that's why.
So I'm sure that's why he couldn't go.
It's not really an English test. It's more of an Australian test.
Yes.
G'day, mate.
A citizenship test.
How much is a shrimp and the barbie?
They make you identify kangaroos and koalas.
Kangaroos and koalas.
And all the million things that can kill you in Australia.
There's a lot of things that can kill you.
And they make you do an accent like
this.
If you can do that, they'll give you a passport.
Come on in.
Anyway, we're going to talk more about the fat duck moving to Melbourne. Let's go ahead and read through the article right now.
Reading.
Inside Heston's World. The Fat Duck Melbourne opens in time, but the problems don't stop there. Heston is burning the midnight oil, looking after both Fat Duck restaurants. He sometimes works over 20 hours a day. Meanwhile, his staff must deal with new dishes, a bigger space, and personal conflicts. Luckily, all the hard work pays off. The Fat Duck Melbourne is reviewed by some top food critics, and they're all impressed. The food is excellent, and the dining experience is even better. One reviewer loved Sound of the Sea. This is a fish dish that you eat while listening to ocean sounds on an iPod. There's also the famous snail porridge and mock turtle soup. The service is first class, with the waiters giving guests their full attention. Heston is a creative genius, and a night at the Fat Duck leaves diners satisfied in every way. To see how he adds fun and imagination to his food, check out Inside Heston's World on TLC.
Okay, the article begins today by saying the Fat Duck Melbourne opens in time, but the problems don't stop there.
Never stop.
The problems never stop with a restaurant,
no,
I think.
No, they don't.
It does open in time. It means that according to their schedule, they said it's going to open on this day. It's going to open on, well, let's use today's date, October 7th. So that means it would open on October 7th. It would open on the day that they planned for it to happen. We can say something happens in time, or we can say something happens on time as well.
The same.
They mean about the same thing.
Yeah.
So, the restaurant opens on the day they planned it to open on, but the problems do not stop.
No, it's a lot of work for the chefs and everyone connected to it. It says Heston is burning the midnight oil. Wow, that's going to
fire.
It's going to cost a lot of money, too. Looking after both Fat Duck restaurants. Oh, I see.
Okay.
He's not actually burning anything. Burning the midnight oil, which we'll get to in our shortcut for you, basically means you're working really hard. And why is he? Well, of course, he's setting up the new restaurant there in Melbourne, Australia. And he's also, remember, supervising the redecoration of the old restaurant back in England. He's got to be on the phone or on the internet making sure that all that work back in England is going on efficiently, as well as setting up the new restaurant in Australia. Yes, He would be working hard. He would be burning the midnight oil. Let's take a shortcut for you and find out more about this lovely phrase.
Shortcut for you.
What? You're still working? It's 3 a.m.
Yeah, I just have too much to do, so I'm burning the midnight oil.
Midnight oil?
Mm-hmm.
Are you cooking something? I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm. To burn the midnight oil means to stay up late working or studying.
Gotcha. Burn the midnight oil means 熬夜.
You got it. I'll have to burn the midnight oil to finish this stuff.
That's too bad. I'm so hungry. Hey, do we have anything left?
Yeah, there's some leftovers in the fridge.
How do I heat it up?
I'll heat up some oil.
Which one?
It's a big bottle with the words midnight on it.
And if you're taking care of things, you could also use that expression to look after somebody or something. It means you're supervising, you're responsible, you're in charge, you're getting the work done.
So this would be a big challenge because there's also a big time difference.
Yes, that's right.
Between England and Australia.
Right.
So, like, when he would be ready maybe to go to bed, he would probably still have to be on the phone or on Skype.
Right.
Or sending emails to people back in the UK. So,
yeah.
Huge challenges. I'm sure he's not getting enough sleep. In fact, we learn he sometimes works over 20 hours a day.
Wow.
I thought people in Taiwan were busy. Wow.
Yeah.
He's working a lot.
And that's
20
like
hours.
30 hours a day in Australia, right?
No, they still have 24-hour days there.
They're in the south?
No, that's not how it works.
It's like winter and up here it's summer. And
we'll do another article about this later and explain it to you. But
okay.
No, 24-hour days. So that
even
leave,
in Australia?
Even in Australia.
Okay.
Believe me. And so that leaves only, by my calculations, 4 hours.
4 hours.
For sleep.
And surfing and koala hunting.
And chasing kangaroos. Kangaroo boxing.
All that other good
all
stuff.
All those great Australian pastimes.
Running away from snakes. Meanwhile, his staff must deal with new dishes, a bigger space, and personal conflict.
Ah.
Oh, my gosh. So these are many of the things that are happening there in Australia. Of course, the staff, that's the workers in the restaurant, are dealing with new dishes. They're making some new food for their Australian customers, so some of this is sort of new and unfamiliar. Everyone has to learn their job. A bigger space, so it's a much bigger restaurant they're working in, which leads to problems organizing things. You know, hey, my pan isn't there. Where are the bowls? Oh my gosh, the glasses are a mile away. So they have to deal with that. And as always, when you're working with big groups of people, there will be personal conflict. A conflict is basically a fight, an argument, when two people aren't getting along, when they're having some kind of conflict. Personal means it's between people. So, one chef is angry at the other chef. Everyone's tired. Everyone's stressed. People get upset. They say angry words. And Heston has to come in and say, hey, guys, come on. We got to work together as a team. We also saw the adverb there at the beginning of the sentence, meanwhile. This is a great adverb when you're telling a story because it's showing that two sets of actions are happening at the same time. So he's on the phone and at the same time, he's doing all of this other stuff. Meanwhile, showing that it's all going on all at the same time. I can see why he only sleeps 20 hours a day.
That's right. It does seem all very stressful.
Yes.
I know working in a kitchen, it's a very highly charged environment.
Right.
People are very busy. It's
hot.
It's hot. It's, people
smells
are,
like fish.
Sometimes customers are complaining.
Mm-hmm.
And so people
can
get
everywhere.
Into fights. There's salt and pepper and spices and
jeez.
Yeah, it's a very highly charged there's a lot of conflict.
True, but if you get sad you can just eat French fries.
That's true. You can eat your way to happiness. Well, next it says, luckily, all the hard work pays off.
Ching, yay.
If something pays off, it means you put effort into doing something and you have success.
It worked out.
So if you work hard, it will pay off. Now this can mean literally, as in you will earn money from it. You will get like a nice big paycheck at the end of it.
Yes.
Or it can just mean that you have done something successfully.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily have to be about money.
Mm-hmm.
It just means they've had success with the restaurant. People are coming in. The reviews are good. People are raving about the delicious food there. So they've overcome the conflicts, all the problems with transportation and settling in a new place.
Yep, there you go. So the Fat Duck Melbourne is reviewed by some top food critics and they're all impressed. Fantastic. When a new restaurant or a new movie or many new things open, a critic or critics might go down to check it out. These are knowledgeable people who will go there, visit, watch the movie, eat the food, try the show, and they'll write about it for newspapers and websites. We take their advice because they know lots about food, and if they say, wow, this place is great, you have to go, business will probably pick up. So when you're in the restaurant business, impressing the food critics is going to be a very good thing to do. And if you're impressed with something, basically you like it. You've gone there, it's been as good as you expected, maybe even better. You're like, wow, that was really good. And of course, you'll probably tell your friends about it too. So again, yes, if you're making a movie or a show or a restaurant, impressing people, especially critics, is a very successful thing to do.
It says the food is excellent.
Yum, yum.
And the dining experience is even better.
to dine means to go and eat.
Yes, it was excellent.
It was wonderful. Those snails on the iPod.
The iPod was especially delicious.
Hmm.
The food is excellent, so the critics are saying good things.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, dining. Dining simply means to go somewhere to eat.
This is eating. This is dining.
This dining is a much fancier word, but it still means just eating.
It's eating, exactly. One reviewer loved Sound of the Sea.
Can we get the iPods now?
This could be the iPod.
Okay, we're going to find out how the iPods taste.
Sound of the Sea is the name of this dish. That's what it would say on the menu. It doesn't say, you know, fish with a butter sauce. It says Sound of the Sea. What is it? It says this is a fish dish that you eat while listening to ocean sounds on an iPod.
So you
that
can hear,
is
like,
weird.
Orca whales and stuff. I don't know if that's what a whale sounds like.
And you're eating a fish dish, so that means it's a type of fish. That's what you've ordered. You've ordered fish, but it comes with extra added sound.
Okay. Hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure if that would work. Like, I don't know if I would want to eat a burger and listen to a cow.
Yeah.
That might be kind of weird. Listen to a cow mooing while I'm eating it.
Yeah. These eggs.
Chicken is delicious.
Plus, you couldn't talk to your dining companion.
Yeah.
You'd be there listening to the sounds of the sea, and they'd be like, so, what did you think of the new TV show? Yeah, it doesn't work.
Wonder if there's, like, sea birds. Like, ah!
Oh, geez. Or,
okay, I hope they're very selective.
The sound of a foghorn.
With the sea sounds.
Yeah, well, that's only one of the dishes, though, right?
Okay, yeah, no, there's others.
It says
there's also the famous snail porridge.
Thank you, snails.
And mock turtle soup.
Ah.
A porridge is like almost like a thick soup.
A gruel.
It usually has grains in it. You can have like rice porridge or...
Congee.
That's a type of porridge. This is with the snail, so that's why we know why they needed 64,000 snails to come over. Mm-hmm. And mock turtle soup. Mock here usually means fake, not real. So they're not putting real turtle in it, probably because a lot of turtles are actually endangered.
Yes.
There's not very many of them.
That's right.
So it's probably illegal to serve them in a restaurant. So they would have something that would be similar to turtle meat, but not actually turtle.
There you go. So the food, of course, is fantastic, but that's not all. It says the service is first class, with the waiters giving guests their full attention. This is what you'll find when you go to really good restaurants. The waiters talk to you, they explain the food, they answer all of your questions, they give you a little bit of extra information about the food you're eating, so it can be very, very interesting, and the waiters are on point. They're doing their jobs very well. It says, Heston is a creative genius.
Oh, thank you.
And a night at the Fat Duck leaves diners satisfied in every way.
Wow.
And also a little bit poorer.
Yes.
But they've
their
had
a
wonderful experience. Because, yes, the chef is a genius. Someone who's a genius is really, really smart, really, really talented. In his case, he's a creative genius. If you're creative, you make up new things. You have a great imagination. You look at two things that no one has ever used together and you go, oh, wait a minute, I could make this amazing thing out of these two things and no one's ever done it before. And you're awesome because you're a creative genius like Leonardo da Vinci.
Now to see how he adds fun and imagination to his food, check out Inside Heston's World on TLC. Imagination, you just mentioned this word. If you have a good imagination, it means you're good at imagining things. You can picture things in your head. You can get a lot of interesting ideas, in other words, like putting an iPod with your seafood dish,
yes,
for example.
That's right.
That requires a lot of imagination. Mm. So you can check out the restaurant if you're in Melbourne and you manage to get a table, or you can just check out the TV show on TLC.
Cool.
We're almost out of time for today. Before we go, let's have our For You Chat.
For You Chat.
So today on the show, we've come up against some kind of unconventional dishes. You know, the seafood dish where you listen to the sounds of the sea on an iPod. That's a little bit different. Snail porridge. I had never heard of that before. I'm sure it's probably pretty good. But let's keep going with the theme of unusual dishes. Mike,
yes.
What is the most unusual dish you've ever tried and how was it?
I had sheep's tongue in Scotland last year.
Okay, I kind of unusual. Hesitate to ask, but how was it?
It was delicious.
Was it like tough? Was
no,
it soft?
It was very tender.
Okay.
It was fantastic.
Tender tongue.
Yeah.
You know, you see a sheep in a field and go, yeah! And the tongue doesn't look like, oh, you know, I want to eat that.
You got to cook the tongue for a few hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird. Oh, I had one of those balut eggs.
Oh, in the Philippines.
I had it in Cambodia.
Okay.
But it's weird. It's like an egg with sort of it's like a baby duck or chicken inside
yeah.
And you can like see the little feathers.
It's not a normal egg where you just crack it open and there's like the yellow yolk.
No.
It actually, the baby bird is inside it. It has feathers. It has a beak.
It's like a
not bad actually. I've had that too.
It's like a kindergarten chicken.
But it's a traditional dish in places like Cambodia, Philippines, Vietnam. I think they eat it as well.
Not bad. It's not bad, but it's just sort of why.
Yeah.
Why? Why are we doing this?
I have a feeling that some of these dishes started like as a bet.
Yes.
Like, I dare you to eat this.
That's probably true.
And then somehow it becomes a traditional food.
And then they tell you, oh, it's really good for you.
Yeah.
It's really healthy.
Yeah, it'll...
Okay.
You'll have 10 sons if you eat this.
How about you? You must have had some weird food, too.
I've had deep-fried scorpions.
Ooh, that must have been where? China?
Thailand.
Okay. Deep-fried scorpions.
Basically, though, if you deep-fry anything, it just tastes... Everything
That's
tastes
true.
Like everything else.
That's true, yes.
So I had deep-fried scorpions.
You could probably deep-fry your socks.
I had a nice, big, deep-fried spider.
Ooh, okay. You like the insects.
I just had to try it. You know, if I'm walking down the street and I see something weird...
Yep.
I have to try.
Okay, here's one. I got one for you. You'll like this one. Chocolate-covered bees.
That sounds not bad.
I used to love those when I was a kid, apparently.
I had chocolate-covered ants.
Ooh, yeah, okay.
Those were actually pretty good.
Okay.
Crunchy.
Uh-huh.
Nice and crunchy.
How about mountain mouse?
Okay, you win.
Which is rat.
Rat, yeah. Fancy way of saying
here's
rat.
Here's a good tip, kids. If it says mountain and then an animal on a menu, it's not that animal.
It's something else. It's big. And it's got big teeth and claws.
It's a scary version of maybe that animal, but it's not that animal. Mountain chicken? It's not chicken.
Okay, you guys can have a chat about this as well. We're out of time. Until the next edition of English for You, I'm Joe.
I'm Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bon appetit.
Inside Heston's World. The Fat Duck Melbourne opens in time, but the problems don't stop there. Heston is burning the midnight oil, looking after both Fat Duck restaurants. He sometimes works over 20 hours a day. Meanwhile, his staff must deal with new dishes, a bigger space, and personal conflicts. Luckily, all the hard work pays off. The Fat Duck Melbourne is reviewed by some top food critics, and they're all impressed. The food is excellent, and the dining experience is even better. One reviewer loved Sound of the Sea. This is a fish dish that you eat while listening to ocean sounds on an iPod. There's also the famous snail porridge and mock turtle soup. The service is first class, with the waiters giving guests their full attention. Heston is a creative genius, and a night at the Fat Duck leaves diners satisfied in every way. To see how he adds fun and imagination to his food, check out Inside Heston's World on TLC.
Vocabulary Review.
Meanwhile, Max was watching TV in the living room. Meanwhile, his sister, Jody, was studying in her room. Conflict. The worker lost his job after he had a series of conflicts with his boss. Impress. Jake wasn't sure if he would enjoy the art museum, but in the end, he was really impressed with the paintings. Dine. People like to dine at this restaurant because its waiters and waitresses are so friendly. Creative. The creative child is always painting, drawing, or inventing stories. Imagination. You need to use your imagination when you work as a designer.